Welcome to episode one of the Care Deeply podcast. I am your host, Yolan Morris. On today's episode, we have Dr. Keisha Thompson. Dr. Keisha is an associate professor of psychology in New York City. She holds a doctorate in counseling psychology from Texas A&M University. She's a native of Trinidad and Tobago, and she grew up in Brooklyn. Her clinical experience includes college counseling, community mental health, the federal prison system, the VA Medical Center, and various K-12 school settings. Her professional interests include diversity issues in higher education, themes of psychosocial development, and mental health in Black youth and women. Dr. Keisha is also the founder of Hashtag Goals Brunch, a quarterly meeting of women focused on addressing the obstacles to achieving their goals and establishing positive sisterhood and mentoring. Dr. Keisha, side note, is also my neighbor. She's someone that I've been in community with for a very long time, even though we didn't know each other. We've gone to the same schools, high school, college, and even church for a number of years without ever actually knowing one another. Today, we discuss the power of community, why everyone should have a care circle, and what it truly means to be a neighbor during the time of coronavirus.
Most times when I introduce myself to people, I say, I'm Keisha. And then they'll say, what do you do? And I'll say, I teach. And they'll say, where do you teach? And I'm like, oh, I teach at a college. And it's like, oh, you're a professor. So you have a master's, a doctorate, and I have a doctorate. And I've had a doctorate for almost 10 years now. But it's an interesting story that has God's handprint all over it. I was born in the Caribbean. I was born in Trinidad. My mom migrated to the U.S. when I was about 6 years old, and I stayed in Trinidad. And then eventually I came to the U.S. and just, you know, my parents didn't know anything about the education system. They didn't know what was happening or
third
what
world parents.
Listen, but they did know that you needed an education.
Yes.
I just feel like one of the first places, like I remember going to get my social security card. I remember going to get my immunizations. And I remember going to the library to get a library card. Like those are distinct memories of my first like couple weeks in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And so education has just been like a really important thing. And through just like a lot of God opening doors and doors even being shut, I got my way into getting a PhD in counseling psychology.
Round of applause. What does that mean?
So what that means is I have a doctorate. I did my bachelor's degree at Baruch. And it's like you said, we both went to the same high school and college, but never crossed paths until more recently.
And the same church.
At the same church too. And so after my master's, I went into a PhD program in Texas. So counseling psychology, the focus is a strengths-based approach to psychology and to treating psychological disorders and helping people sort of like adjust. Like the short story of that is that like after World War II, when the VA was formed, counseling psychology sort of came out of that. We're getting people reacclimated back into society, as well as helping them figure out some vocational things and helping them, you know, sort of work through some of their struggles as they came back. Because a lot of people who came back from World War II came back with what we now know as PTSD and traumatic brain injury as well. So that's what counseling psychology is. And so my degree trained me to be both a scientist and a practitioner.
Wow.
So my degree trained me to do research, and it also trained me to do psychological counseling.
Okay, so I'm here. I'm sitting across from you right now. It is, you know, we have a global pandemic happening right now. There are so many people who are stressed, and I'm going to turn off my phone, I really am, who are stressed, who are, you know, anxious about their future, about their present, right? Because there have been so many layoffs. I heard the U.S. now has the most coronavirus cases out of any country in the world. Like, what are you telling people? Or what do you tell people when they call you up or they come and see you and they're like, I'm at the end of my rope?
Yeah, I mean, shout out to all the people that actually practice. I decided to go the scientist teaching route, but my students have a lot of anxiety and I've had to deal with that over the past 2 to 3 weeks. And so a part of it is that, like, hey, freak out, do it. Feel what you're feeling. A lot of people have had major life events canceled or postponed. Yeah. A lot of people have had to figure out where their next meal or their next check is coming from. It's okay to freak out and cry and feel the way that you're feeling. And then at some point, we got to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? Because you can get through this. It's just a matter of figuring out how best to get through it. Right. And so back with the strengths-based approach, it's like, okay, what do you have in your wheelhouse? What do you have in your corner that's working for you? You know, most of us that are like freaking out, we're actually in warm, comfortable homes with food, water, shelter, and toilet paper, let me add.
Okay, thank God for Costco. Okay.
So we just kind of need to focus on the things that are going right, but don't act like there's no reason to be delusional about it. Yeah. But then there are some people who really have to figure this stuff out. And I really encourage folks that if you can lend a helping hand to do that, because part of something that we do with folks who might be, say, like suffering from depression is that we encourage them to volunteer and to do random acts of kindness, because it helps you feel better about yourself when you help someone else. So those are some of the things I will say to people to do, but also, like, minimize the amount of television coverage that you're taking in. Make sure that whatever you are taking in, because you don't want to be sitting here clueless, make sure it's coming from reputable sources, right? Yeah. Not just what's on Instagram. You know, like, all kinds of crazy numbers and things are out there. The Centers of Disease Control has been putting information out. I know we're in New York City. I get an email from the mayor's office every night with updated information. So pay attention to those things, but limit how much you're taking in, because that can induce your anxiety even more. I know a lot of people are working from home. You want to put yourself on a schedule. I find that a lot of people who are working from home are actually now overworking. And so y'all need to stop. Stop it. Like, I did lunch over video with a couple colleagues, because I'm accustomed to eating lunch every day. I'm not a sit at your desk and eat lunch person. Even when I'm at home, I get up and I go sit at the dining room table.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So things like that. I did a little coffee break with some friends today. People dropped in and dropped out as they were able to do. Nobody was drinking coffee. We just took a break. Because that's what you do when you're in the office. So why are you in your house just, you know? So those are some of the things that I've been saying to people.
So I know that there are people out there like me that they have some go-to vices in times like these, right? So for a lot of people, those vices might be alcohol. You know, there are a lot of virtual happy hours going on. And they don't even have to worry about getting home. They're already there, right? For me, it's, you know, I have some non-dairy ice cream bars in my fridge right now. So, you know, it's sugar, right? That's like my go-to vice. So what do you tell people who they're reaching for something that at the end of it, they might regret it, you know? They might regret some of the actions that they're taking in this season just because they feel like, oh, like, this is helping me cope in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all got it. Mine is shopping. And I bought so much. I've never had so much food in my house. So I think everybody's trying to pace themselves through their snacks. And it's like, you know, when you were little, and it's different being grown in your house with snacks, right? When you were little, like, they'll be like, you can't have snacks. Nobody can tell you not to have snacks now. So it's on you. I was telling someone last night, I bought more stuff online. I'm not an online shopper, but I bought stuff. And last night I was on Facebook and an ad popped up from Saks Fifth Avenue. And it was like, you would look great in these. And I looked at it and I really would look great in them. I was like, how did you
know?
But I didn't succumb. I think a lot of people need to stop being so hard on themselves. Yeah. That's the first part of it, right? That they, if you get through this season with perfection, I want to meet you. Mm-hmm. Because that's just, you know, it's just give yourself permission to not get through this season in perfection, but with everything in life, with moderation. I mean, I think if at the end of the day you've had a hard day, you've been working really hard, you know, some people are on the front line, some people are having to get information out. Yeah. You know what, if at the end of the day you want to reward yourself with a non-dairy ice cream bar, do it, but don't do two.
Okay. Okay. Last week I did three.
Okay.
And one, I ate the whole box in one sitting. Today I said no.
Because what you have to recognize is when you get through that box, you don't feel any better than you did before you started the box. You feel worse.
Yeah.
Right? So then, again, it's okay in moderation.
For sure.
One thing that I was saying to someone, they're struggling to get stuff done. It's like, reward yourself throughout the day, yeah. Right? If I get this much of my work done, then I'm going to reward myself. But then if I don't, then I don't.
Okay.
And accountability. Get an accountability partner.
I know. All my accountability partners are worse than me. I'm like, no, you got to put the cake down.
Eat the cake.
No, don't eat the cake, Adam. Don't eat it. Don't eat the cake. I digress.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are both part of a faith community, right? We believe in God. We believe that Jesus is faithful. We believe in his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his protection. Hedge. He's got a hedge of protection. Or as my boy Fred Hammond, a fence. Jesus be a fence.
All around. Be a face mask.
Be of everything. Be some gloves.
Yes,
all
Jesus.
All of that, right? But how do we balance faith in this season, but also wisdom, right? Because I just heard, for example, and you know, you work at a school that, for example, Liberty University, they ordered all of their students back, like 1,000+, and their parents sent them because these are probably Christian parents who are like, you know what, my leaders are saying that it is okay to go back. And then we have our president who said Easter Sunday, it's going to be an Easter miracle. Like, you know, how do we balance that? Like, that, you know, God, we believe, you know, that you can do it, and we're speaking in faith, mm-hmm. that, you know, we are protected and we will be good. But then also, and, you know, I mentioned, like, my pastor announced that he has coronavirus. I'm like, how do you balance
all of those things? Okay, so much to unpack there, and some of it I'm going to leave it where it's at.
Yeah, please do.
But one thing I know my pastor always says is, don't listen to me. Listen to what the Bible says. If I ever say anything and it doesn't line up with that word, don't you do it. Right? And the fact of the matter is that the word of God said that we should practice wisdom. The word of God says that we have to obey the laws of the land. And so if the laws of the land is saying that we need to shut down, then we need to shut down. Right? You can't. You know, I think the verse they always say is, render unto Caesar what's due to Caesar.
Yeah,
render, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, to me, be saying that you're a Christian and you're living this walk and you're defining faith the way you want to define it.
Sure.
And the way you're defining it is in direct defiance from the word of God.
Right.
Right? So, they know what's going on over there. I wouldn't have sent any child of mine back to school.
Right.
And there's just so much there. But I just really think that as Christians, what we really need to do at this time is to be salt and light.
Yeah.
And so what that means is that we need to be showing positivity. We need to be praying for ourselves. We need to be praying for others. Like, there are all these lives popping up, and I'm in them, and I'm enjoying them. But I'm not seeing as many of our lives popping up with things happening for specifically for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the types of things that we ought to be doing, is seeking those opportunities to minister not only to others but to ourselves, right? Because it's difficult to have all of this going on around you and not feel any type of anxiety,
right?
Like, I don't know that again, if you exist, please come find me, that you think, you know. And the hope we have in Christ is that everything is going to work out eventually. The journey is going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to have its hills and its valleys.
Yeah.
But we know that eventually it's going to be okay, and that's what should help us ride it out. But we gotta obey the law.
Amen. Amen. You know, one of the most beautiful things I think that's come in this season is this sense of, even though it's virtual, right, the sense of community, the sense of gathering together, you know, whether it's Dina is having
yes.
homeschool party virtual. So I just got to say it now that I partied. I danced in the same live as Michelle Obama.
Listen, Oprah.
Oprah Winfrey.
Will
Stevie
Smith.
Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
Shaka Khan.
Listen.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Listen.
Okay. Just so many people were there. Over 100,000. So you think about community, you know, like never before, right? And I know you're someone who, you've been doing the work in the last couple of years in terms of building a community of women. Can you tell us about that community and the purpose that you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, I think I started a hashtag Goals Brunch almost 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years in July. And a part of it is that I'm a Christian professional woman. I'm a Christian somewhat creative.
Yeah.
And so I go into Christian spaces and they don't speak to professional women.
Agreed.
There's so many times I've started like a devotional or I go into a women's meeting anywhere. I'm not talking about any specific one, but anywhere. And the conversation always veers towards child and home and husband. And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out how not to cuss people out on the job.
Speak in my heart.
But still not be trampled over.
Right.
And with Sam, I hold on to my integrity as a Christian woman.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, you know, I noticed there's a trend with a lot of people that speak to these things. They marry really young.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how do you navigate the single life at an older age? Like, I'm trying to figure out all those things. I'm trying to figure out when my anxiety becomes overwhelming, what am I gonna do? When I'm trying to figure out what my next steps are in life, like how do I connect with other women,
yeah.
Right? So I'm going into Christian spaces and that's not happening.
Right.
And then I'm going into secular spaces and people just wanna be extremely ratchet. That's the best way I could explain and describe it. And that's not me. And I'm like, I could deal with a dose of ratchet occasionally,
just a little bit.
But that's not me.
Right.
Right? And so I just was like, the space doesn't exist. I remember that year I'd gone to a lot of Women's History Month events. And I was just like, every time I went someplace, I was disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. And I'm like, I have these conversations with my girlfriends that are both Christian and non-Christian. And we're dealing with some of the same things.
Yeah.
And we have similar backgrounds. So we're coming up with solutions together. And I really wanted other women to be a part of that. And then there's like the mental health piece where I feel like any and everybody's out here talking about mental health and they shouldn't. Right?
They should not.
Don't do it. It's not your expertise, but I can't get mad at them because they have crafted a following and they have crafted a forum to have their voices be heard. Now, granted, I'm not saying that their experiences, I'm not invalidating their experiences.
Sure.
People have experienced things, and when you experience something, you know, the Word of God says that our testimony will help others overcome their battles.
Yeah,
like,
let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Right?
Tell their story.
But I would go into spaces and people are giving out incorrect information. And because of who's saying it, people are taking it as gold. And I just felt like it was part of my responsibility to be like, wait a minute. This is what this actually is. So the community is based on, we're not necessarily sitting around talking a whole lot about anxiety and depression. But if it comes up, it's not uncommon in this space. And we're accustomed to talking about things. Like one of the first things I did was stop thinking. That's anxiety,
mm-hmm.
right? When you sort of dig yourself down into this rabbit hole with negative thoughts, that's what the whole thing was about. But we were sitting there eating pancakes and French toast and whatever else, wings, and figuring it out, right? And so then it normalizes the conversations.
Sure.
And so, although like a lot of times we do have a core group of women that come, sometimes you won't see the same woman again, but they're okay now having those conversations outside of that space.
That's awesome.
So it really came, it's a combination of these conversations I would always have. I want everybody to be a part of it. And I want us to as Black women, really take proper care of ourselves.
Care. That is something I think that I've become even more passionate about just in the last couple of years, because I was that person that was like burnt out, right? And really, you know, just I think as women, especially when we're single, it's almost like we feel like we have to just keep going, right? Just stay. Then how do we balance this kind of goal setting with like the rhythms of rest? You know, the rhythms of Sabbath and just, you know, calmness and being centered and, you know, just taking a break.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think at the end of the day, if you want to be great, like, you have to rest, mm-hmm. right? I think I was saying to you earlier, like, offline, like, I have two speeds. I'm either just, like, going or I'm doing nothing. And so it's essential when I have seasons. And sometimes we don't have, like, we have to go. That's what our job demands. It's what our family demands. Again, with the accountability, one thing, like, for me, that when I'm going, I'll forget to eat. And so my sort of care circle, if you'll call them that, they know that I forget to eat. And so I'll get the occasional text during the day, like, did you eat? Right? Or I'll even have friends be like, do you need me to send something to you? Have some food sent to you or whatever,
that's
right?
Amazing.
Because I can sort of get into the flurry of things where I have to get things done by a certain time. But, like, you've experienced burnout, right? Mm-hmm. And so then you have no energy, you have no drive, you have no passion, you can't offer anything
nothing.
To anybody, not
nothing.
Even to yourself.
Nothing.
And we really have to, I think, be intentional about not ending up there. And the way you do that is to allow yourself to stop, to breathe, to stop and think, and to stop and just do nothing.
Right.
Like, give yourself permission to sort of recuperate. Every time you go through something, and a lot of high-achieving women, they will go from one project to the next project to the next project. And so that's something you can actually use to your advantage. Create a self-care project, right? So that self-care doesn't become an activity or an event, but it's a part of your everyday life. So that a part of your schedule is maybe having some tea at the end of the day, maybe taking a into a bath once a week, going to the nail salon, whatever. Like, it seems like little things, but if you're intentional about it and it's directed towards you, and you know it's directed towards you, it's gonna feel a little bit different.
I know one of the things, especially in this season, I didn't realize how much, like, your commute can stress you out. And just the hustle and bustle of living in the city sometimes. So just being able to take a break and be home is almost life-giving. Mm-hmm. Life-giving practices that you've seen in this season.
In this season, I think just taking advantage of the time, right? Like, you don't have to rush out of the door, so you actually can sit and eat. You can actually sit and do your devotion. I mean, and some people are still having a go, right? One thing that I know I've been intentional with, even when I was a graduate student and I started seeing clients, I recognized that I needed to leave work behind.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't take this home. And when I say take it home, I don't mean like physically take it home, but emotionally take it home, right? And so one thing that I would always do is, like, there's a certain type of music that I play in my car. Or my car ride is used for me to catch up with somebody who I know I'm gonna have a great, fun conversation with. Mm-hmm. Not somebody I'm gonna get in an argument with. save those calls for later.
Right.
Later. And so there's so many podcasts out there, like the Weight Ignorance podcast. you can make your own playlist, right? So even when you're getting up in the morning, and some people don't have the ability to just sort of, like, stop, you know, put on your playlist to help you get going throughout the day. Really take that time to speak life, I think, into others, and speak to others who you know are going to speak life into you. I think you have to choose your community. You have to choose your community wisely.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things that, especially, you know, when talking about community and just care and so much in this kind of session, you know, if you could sum up, you know, maybe one thing, whether it's like a parting thought or just something that you want to leave with listeners today about just care and overall care.
Your care is, I was thinking about it, like, care is love.
Mm-hmm.
And caring for yourself is an opportunity for you to show yourself how much you love yourself. And as much effort that we put into loving others and into making sure others know that we're there for them and know that we love them, we need to turn that inward and turn that towards ourselves, and show our bodies, show our minds, show our emotions that we care about them, by making sure that we put the right things into them in terms of what we eat, exercise, who we're around, what content we ingest. Just really turn that around towards yourself and it'll make a big difference.
Well, thank you, Keisha. Dr. Keisha.
You're welcome.
For being with us today. I'm sure this won't be the last time.
No, we shall talk again.
We shall. But thank you so much for joining us and just talking about community care and just how important it is, especially during this season.
Yes.
And don't touch me.
I won't touch you again.
Dr. Keisha, for joining us today and reminding us of what it truly means to be a neighbor. As we were talking, I was reminded of Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, where a man came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" To which Jesus replied, "What is written in the book of the law? Have you read it?" The man said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You've replied correctly. Do this and you will live." But the man, wanting to justify himself further, said, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus told him a story, which we now know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. He told the story of a man who was robbed, stripped of his clothes, beaten, and left for dead. A priest came by, saw the man, and walked on the other side. A Levite came by, saw the man, and walked on the other side. But a Samaritan, someone of a different language, a different nationality, a different religion, different altogether, came, saw the man, took pity on him. He took care of him. He put him on his donkey. He paid for him to stay in an inn, and reimbursed the innkeeper for all of his expenses. So when Jesus finished telling the story, he said to the man, "Who do you think of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers?" To which the expert of the law says, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Right now, we're living in a time where our neighbors are anyone that we come into contact with, whether it virtually or physically, but remember, 6 feet apart. And so my neighbor isn't just Dr. Keisha, but it's anyone that I have the capacity to help, anyone that I have the capacity to care for. So I pray that this week, and as we continue to live through this new world and this new normal, that we'll continue to be mindful of our neighbors, not just our physical ones, but our virtual ones, and look for opportunities to care for others. Coming up on the next episode of the Care Deeply podcast, we talk to Brittany Cole, founder of Career Thrivers. We find out what it's like to care for your career and the purposes that God has given you, even through devastating loss.
Made it happen after a lot of challenge getting to that place. And we're there, I'm excited. And 3 months later, out of nowhere, would have never in a million years thought would be the case. My mom passed unexpectedly. And I was at work when I got the news, when it happened.